in regard to some of the issues in Mishkan. It overlaps
a number of things we saw earlier in the year. That should allow us to go through it more quickly. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Pes on Beis, Hadur Yos Tomiba, where the Lama Tesavos Malachos come from, that whole Shaka Vitaria, and Tosis on that Sugya, and the Ramban, as well as the Uraim and Mitzvah Ayin Tes, how they understand the Machlokas and that Gemara, whether or not it's derived from the Mishkan or from the Malacha Malacha Malachto. Just remember again that interesting Mitzvah Eson that we discussed earlier in the year, on the Sugya in Horios, Davon Amadeis, which also is very relevant to understanding that Machlokas. Also the Gemara in Ayin Gimel Amad Beis to Ayin Dalet Amad Aleph, the Gemara about Zora, Bora, Merakade, whether they're counted as three or not, what role the Mishkan plays in differentiating those Malachos, and the Rishonim Alatar, their Rashi, Tosis, and the Ritva. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Vav Mabeis, we talked earlier in the year about the relationship between Avos and, what the differences between Maishan Avos and Toldos, and the question of Mishkan Chashiva. And the Girsos there, Tosis there, in terms of Hasra, and the Girsos, and the two Rambans there, Kedush Rambans, and we discussed the most important one already, earlier in the year, but look at it there, Tzadi Vav Mabeis. Remember the Tosis in Shabbos, of course, Samech Hesamad Aleph that we did earlier in the year, with the Marshal and the Maram, as opposed to the Marsha. The Rishonim and Bava Kamma, Beis Amad Aleph, Rashi there, Tosos, and the Shita Mekubetzes there, Marikatz, the Tosos Shants, Rabbeinu Yechiel that he quotes, of course, Tosos on Sadi Dalet Amad Aleph about Melachshen and Zvichel Gufa. All of this to try to figure out the role that the Mishkan plays. Again, a lot of it we overlapped in Melachshen and Zvichel Gufa in particular, but just to sum it up. The Rambams also, we saw earlier in the year mostly, Perek Zayin of Hashgagos, Halacha Ches and Tes, and Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis Gimel and Hay, the question of Me'ein Ha'av, and the Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Gimel and Beis, about Zareya and Zomer, getting to it soon enough in terms of the Malacha, but right now just for the meta issue, Zareya, Zomer, Mavrich, Markiv, Rabbeinu Chananel on the Gemara, very famous Rabbeinu Chananel to look at. Also, Tosis Ayin Hey Amad Beis, Dir Maskol Hare, and Dir Maskol Chasar Achas, and Shitas Rabbi Eliezer increases Tezayin Amad Aleph, Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom. Also, Rashi increases Yotes Amad Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer. Also, Tosin Shabbos Tzadi Amad Beis, Divar Maskel Hamotzi, and the Girsa of the Marshal, again, in the Chokhmah Shlomo, on that Tosis. Also, just Tosis Gimel Amad Aleph, Divar Maskel Ba'asosa, in the beginning of Shabbos, and the Rambam Pirshim Shnayis on the Mishnah, Rambam Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis, Tosis Ayin Gimel Amad Beis, Dir Maskel Mishum Zareya. And then also Tosis Shabbos Ayin Hamad Beis, Dir Maskel. I gave already Chasar Achas. That I gave. Okay. In terms of Avos and Toldos, just a little bit more. Rabbi Eliezer Shita, we discussed it earlier in the year, but just remember again, Tez Zayin Amad Aleph increases compared with Tez Vav Amad Aleph increases. And the Tosa Rosh, Tzadi Vav Mabeis, Dir Maskel Ul Rabbi Lazar, and the Ramban there. I think I gave you that already. Also the Ran, we've spoken about this as well, Lachshen Tzricha Lagufa Betolz, I keep mentioning this Ran, but you should look at it. Ran and Shabbos Kufid Aleph on the base. Also just look at the Rambam, Perek Ches, Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Zayin, and then also Kalim. And the Magid Mishnah Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, how we define Tolda. On the question whether there is or isn't a Me'ein Av, add to the Rabbeinu Chananel and all in the Rambam, add the Or Zeruah also Simen Mem Hei. Okay, that'll get us going. Again, I'll try to go through it quickly, and then once we have that down, then we'll start working on the individual malachas of the Mishnah. Okay. Let's turn our attention now, much time, but let's begin at least, the topic of Mekalkel. There are many things we already know about Mekalkel, and what we particularly know is that the relationship between Mekalkel, Malachas, and Tzrichah Lagufa is really complicated, and in many, many different ways. We also know that many of the questions that we raised about Ein Tzrichah Lagufa, how to define it, whether it's objective or subjective, whether it's the Gavra or the Chetza, which don't have to be the same thing either. Whether these are mutually exclusive halachos, in other words, can something be both Kilkel and Tikkun at the same time? And if so, are we more worried about the absence of Tikkun or the presence of Kilkel? Let's say you have Kilkel Kol Duhur, or you have Tikkun Kol Duhur. What impact does that make? The impact or implications, more to the point, of Mekalkel, Bechovel, and Mavre being different than anything else. These are all issues that we've already come across in our discussion of Melachshen, Tzvich, and Lagufa, and elsewhere, but particularly Melachshen, Tzvich, and Lagufa. And many of the cases, of course, are particularly overlapping, especially Kuteyum and Beis, which we'll read again just in a second. That's Korea, Alames, and Korea, Bechamaso, and Korea, Lemirma, Emasa al Beisei, that Gemara, and of course, especially the Gemara in Kubav, Havaras, Bas Kohen, and Mila, and Sorach Efer, and Sorach Kelev, because depending on which region you talk to, this thing is more about Melachshen Tzrichah Lagufa, more about Mekalkel. We have to revisit those Gemaras. Okay. Let's begin by identifying some of the main cases that we have to analyze. Figure out, are they or are they not Kilkel or Tikkun? And if so, why not? We'll just sketch out, you know, where the issues are to be found. Okay. So what are the cases that we know of that need to be discussed? Yoni? Okay. L'shem Mitzvah. Is L'shem Mitzvah Tikkun or Kilkel? Where do we have that? Yeah, but both in Kufay Mabes and in Kuvav Amnal. Kufay Mabes is Korei Al Meso, that's one case. What does the Gemara seem to say about that? We'll have somebody read it in just a minute again, but what does it seem to be? Well, it's my folks, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Shimon, from the Melachshen Tzrichah Lagufa side of it. But what about the, right now, to the extent that there might be overlap between the topics I'm interested in, but otherwise, I'm really focusing on Mekalkel, from a Mekalkel Matakin point of view. Yeah, the Gemara does seem pretty clearly to say, we'll read it inside again for just a minute, that Korea Alames, that mitzvah is Tikkun. Right? We might have to qualify it. The case is Tikkun. Is it because it's mitzvah only? That's less clear. But there could be other explanations. What else? That's one case. Daniel? Korea Lames is one. That's a case where you have a mitzvah, where, again, it's an interesting case, because it's physically you're tearing something that looks physically, objectively, in the tzura of what you're doing. You're not going to, you know, necessarily sew it back. But if it's Kriya al-Abid Imo, or Yerushalayim, right? It's Kriya Shein and Nesacha. So, you know, either way, you're not tearing it because you're going to, it's going to be, you know, easier to sew back. You might be able to sew it back, but anyway, it's not Kriya L'shem Tvira. So clearly, in the objective reality of Korea, it seems like Kilkel. Almeso, right, seems to be a factor that turns it in a different direction. makes it constructive. We just don't know exactly why, because of the mitzvah or because of something else. What are the cases there? Okay, so in terms of the mitzvah side of it, if you wanted to compare it to other mitzvahs, so it's havara, tzvas kohen, and mila. And that's the sugya on kuvav amudala. Correct. And is that, are those, according to the Gemara, is it clear whether those cases are kilkul or tikkun?
Those cases sound like they're tikkun.
Yeah? Sure about it? I mean, there could be three answers. Yes, no, or machlokas. They tell me that, I think, when Raparnas was, used to give bechinas, right? It was Chayav Potter or machlokas or something? What? Or true, false, and machlokas? What? Okay. So, he used to give the bechinas like that. It worked for him. But, So true, false, or machlokas? Yeah. But you didn't say with very, you didn't muster much conviction there. I mean, isn't it clearly a machlokas? Machlokas based on what? We'll elaborate in a minute, but I mean, we know that it has to be a machlokas. Depending on how you read that whole sugya, which we've already encountered on the Melach Shem Shrit and the Gufa side, then there are radically different ways to read that whole Gemara. Right? Either the Gemara quotes Havaras, Bas Kohen, and Mila to demonstrate that what? That it's Kilkul, and yet you would be Chayiv if not for the Gzeres HaKasu that allows it on Shabbos. Or in the case of Havaras, Bas Kohen, you need to tell you that you can't do it on Shabbos. Implying that there would be that normally there would be chiyuv, right? So the Gemara says that's one of the proofs that mekalkel the kovel amavir is chayiv. So the Gemara seems to be saying the pashtus. The Gemara is saying that havaras bas kohen and mila are kilkel. I have their mitzvos. So actually, if you just look at the two Gemaras that are, you know, very close neighbors, Kufayim and Beis and Kufavim and Aleph, you get to walk away with conflicting impressions. Kufayim and Beis implies that Kare al Meso is Mitake. And Kufavim and Aleph implies that Mitzvos, Havaras Bas Kohen, and Mila are Mekalkel. So something has to give. Right. So according to some Rishonim, that's not what the Gemara said at all. Why not? I say, according to some Rishonim, what appears to be the simple reading of the Gemara, which is that Tavaris, Bas Kohen, and Mila are Kilkul, is not really true. Okay, there might be a Tikkun Sad, but even more so, I mean, you can hold, like, if you read the Gemara like Rashi, Shlomo, if you read the Gemara like Rashi in Kuvav Min Aleph, so does the Gemara say, is the Gemara saying that Havaras Bas Kohen and Mila are Kilkul?
Saying that they're...
Yeah, they're on the Eina Tzricha Legufa component of the Malacha. So even though they're Tikkun in their own right, the problem is that it doesn't help us. So depending on whether you read the Gemara like Rashi or you read the Gemara like Bali Tosas, right? And the Ramban is somewhere in between, as we've already seen, because his Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan revolves, you know, around Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, whereas Tosas revolves around Kilkul. But the point is that if you read the Gemara like Rashi, so the impression that you walk away from is that notwithstanding the simple reading of the Gemara, Havara Bas Kohen and Mila are Tikkun. The only reason that they wouldn't be Chayiv is because they're on the Ein Tzricha L'Gufa part of the Malacha. On the other hand, according to the Bali Tosas, what we're saying is that Havara Bas Kohen and Mila are Kilkul. Okay. So far, Kore Alameh seems clearly to be Tikkun. Mila Havara Bas Kohen seems to be a Machlokas HaRishon. Okay. Getting back to Kufei Amid Beis. What else is there? Alan. Alan. We'll read it in a minute, but... No, Korea Lameis is Tikkun. And what are the other cases? Korea B'chamasa. So there are two Korea B'chamasas, right? One is Lemirma Imasa Al Beise, and the other one is he's angry. He's an angry man, and he needs an outlet for his frustration and his anger. Right? So he breaks things, and he tears things, and he finds it therapeutic. Okay. So is that, what does the Gemara say about these two cases?
Well, in the case where he's just angry, the Gemara, I think the first thing he said might be a tikkun, then it says it's a kokol because you're only, you're doing it, they're going to be your heart.
Yeah, he's feeding his yetzer. So is that, the Gemara compares it to avodah zarah.
Right.
We'll read it in just 1 minute. But so it sounds like the Gemara thinks that korea b'chamaso, literally b'chamaso, is kilkol. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Except, Eliezer? Excellent. The Rambam, Paskins, and Perek Yud, Hukos, do you have it with you? Okay, we'll get it in a minute. If you, you know, by then you'll get it. The Rambam, Perek Yud, Hukos, Shabbos, Halacha Yud, says that a Korea, Bikaso, Bikamaso, go ahead, you have it. Again, a Korea Lafsido.
A Korea Lafsido Pater with Nation in the Tata.
Right.
A Korea Bakamaso, oh, a Minshu, Kaya the Koro, Kaya the Nation with Shinyashi the Spaiso, the Dogger, the Mua Kitro, the whole Bakamaso, so Kepes the Dogger, the Hari Hu, the Sakin, the Kaya.
Right, I mean, the Rambam could have been a psychotherapist. I mean, he expands on the whole thing. Explains exactly how it works, right? He's focused, he's obsessed. This takes out, he takes his aggression out on this. You know, it probably saves every time he rips one of these things. It saves the lives of you know, several people. Ram says, "En lecha tikkun gadol mizeh." Okay, except that it seems to be against the Gemara. Right, so we'll read the Gemara again in a minute. So the problem is that what I'm trying to show you is that there, just like lachshen tzricha legufa, but it won't take as long to go through, nor is it as complicated. There are cases of kilkul, there are cases in the Gemara that seem to be one way, and the Rishonim, you know, contort to make it the other way, in both directions. It seems like this is kilkul. According to most Rishonim, it is kilkul. Korea b'kaso b'chamaso. According to the Rambam, it's tikkun. What does Rambam do with the Gemara? We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, so you have korea meso. That, so far, everybody's agreeing is tikkun. Korea b'chamaso, from the Gemara, seems to be kilkul. The Rambam makes it tikkun. Havaras bas kohen, mila, seems to be kilkul. But according to Rashi, it really is tikkun. Okay, this is four cases so far. What about tzarech l'kalbo, tzarech l'efro? Yonatan? Tzarech kelo, tzarech efer? On Kuvav. You know, Mavir, Tzarech Leifer, Kovav, Tzarech Lekalba. Is that Kilkul or Tikkun?
It's Tikkun.
Or maybe that's the issue.
Right.
That's the machlokas between Rabbi Vo and Rabbi Yochanan. But the question is, according to who? Some Rishonim say that it's a machlokas about kilkul, whether you need kilkul ktsas and chovel amavir. Who says that? Tosas. And that's why Bali Tosas read the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Avohu are within Rabbi Shimon. And the debate is whether or not, even if chovel amavir, your chayiv, mishum makalkel, maybe you need kilkul ktsas. So it's kilkul ktsas. Where according to the other Rishonim, meaning according to Rashi, that's not correct. And according to the Ramban, that's not correct. And according to the Ramban, the issue of Rabbi Avohu and Rabbi Yochanan is parallel to Tosfos, but it's about Malach Shem Tzrucha L'Gufa. Okay. So Tzarech Efer, we have to pin that down a little bit more. But Tzarech Efer, Tzarech Kelev, whether or not that's kilkul or tikkun, tikkun gomor, kilkul gomor, or kilkul ktsas. Ktsas and Tikkun Ktsas, that seems to be open for grabs. Well, Rashi, the point is that in the sugya, Rashi seems to be saying that the problem is one of, in terms of this linkage between, you know, Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda and Mekalkel and Malach Shein Tzvika Legufa, it seems that the linkage is based on the idea that if it wasn't for the problem of Malach Shein Tzvika Legufa, then these cases would not be problematic as Kilkel either. Right. But because they are, because our name is Rikala Group apart and Rav Shimon considers that to be a flaw, therefore whatever kilkul we get from them, whatever tikkun we get from them isn't enough, because it's not tikkun b'gufa malacha. Now that's said explicitly by Afer and Kalev. I think it's implicit in the others.
It's kilkul
b'gufa davar, meaning you are blemishing, creating a blemish in the body, and you're burning the object. Either is tikkun in the mitzvah that is accomplished. That mitzvah that is accomplished is extraneous to the malacha, because malach shein tzvika legufa is patur. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, put it that way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that mekalkel is patur, there's no problem in the requiring of a pasuk to teach you that you can do a bris milah. You need a pasuk to teach you can do a bris milah because it is mekalkel. No, whether the tikkun that in fact is provided by the mitzvah is sufficient for this malacha, given that it's in the components of ein tzarich legufa rather than tzarich legufa. Okay. Yeah. I didn't say it's a normal tikkun. It's ktsas.
No, but I'm saying even if it's tikkun ktsas, it's better than, for example, if it's not a tikkun legufa, if it's not a tikkun legufa.
Right. Isn't it? But Tosus doesn't seem to be operating. Remember, Tosus is within, it's all within Rav Shimon for Tosus. Tosus is saying Rav Yochanan and Rav Avohu. What?
So I'm saying, so it should be, meaning just saying when he says tikkun ktsas, to understand it.
Mekalkel Gomel.
Right, and therefore your theory would be, you know, the Torah's Makalish that, you know, perhaps extending the definition of tikkun, the theory would be like a normal kind of.
Could be. It could be, but I'm just saying I find it interesting that it's being described. I'm not interested in the moment in focusing on the Chiddush of Kovel and Mavir. That would be relevant, I think, to what you're saying, if I understand you. I'm more interested in just trying to figure out other cases in the Gemara, all over the place, that either the Gemara or the Rishonim designate as kilkul or tikkun. Right. So as far as that is concerned, Tosfos is giving it a tikkun definition. Now your point, I think, is, and what is the significance of that in the context of Kovel and Mavir? Right? Is it, you know, does it have some new status, tikkun ktsas, or, you know, or is tikkun ktsas for Kovel and Mavir like tikkun gomor? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and
you may very well be right.
Or it's just like, you know, it's a chiddush of the Torah.
But in the Chabal and the Chidusha. So don't say Kilkul Gomel, there has to be some foundation.
Right.
I think very possibly what you're saying is that's correct. But in terms of, I'm just saying, if you just have cases, somebody says, oh, there's a concept of Kilkul and Tikkun and Shabbos. I say, well, I understand that. Constructive and destructive malacha, what does it really mean? I mean, you know, in concrete cases, what does it mean? If I'm Korea Alames, is that it's a physically destructive act for the Shein Mitzvah? If I do it for therapeutic reasons, there's some psychological benefit. But, you know, do we value that benefit? Is it enough to redefine the case? L'shein mitzvahs havaris bas kohen and mila. L'shein efer, l'shein kelev. So, in theory, I could say something is kilkul gomor, and something is kilkul mitzvahs, and so that's really what I'm trying to do at the moment, to give us a better sense of the cases that we need to contend with. One of the more interesting cases, of course, is the case of shechita. So what do we know about shechita? See? Yoni? Matis? Shchita. Whatever you want to tell. Well, what's the issue? Anything you want to say intelligent on the topic of Kilkel and Shchita. Yeah? How do we know that? Well, we might know it from the Shuk. Excellent. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chesam and Aleph, which says, again, you just said it. If you have a sock and shul of Adazar, which is also Bahanah, so the question is it a violation of Hanah if you use the sakin for the purposes of Shkita? So the Gemara says, for the purpose of Shkita, no. For the purpose of Chaticha, yes. If you're chopping up the basar after the Shkita, you know, right, in your butcher shop or whatever, you know, hacking away at the basar, if you're doing that, so that is... it's a violation of Isur Anah. Why? Because the animal's already nishchat, and it benefits you to chop it up into little pieces. You're not going to, right, I'm not just going to eat it that way, like, you know, King Henry or something. We don't do that. They didn't do it in the time of the Gemara either, so they chop it up. Right? But the Shechita itself, that's not a violation of Isur Anah. Why? Because the value is lowered. Why is the value lowered? Yeah, like Rashi explains in the Gemara, that, you know, you could use it for, you know, whatever. For work, you could use it for breeding, right? You have three options when the animal's alive. And once you limit your options, the limiting of options is itself a diminishing of the price. Okay. One might argue, well, obviously if you made the choice to shech the animal, so you don't think so. That itself is interesting. Meaning, is that objectively true or subjectively true as well? Meaning, the second before you shech the animal, or that you made the decision to shech the animal, it's true that the animal has three potential usages, but one of the potential usages is as meat, which requires shechita. So if you happen to choose that, doesn't that, you know, reflect something? It means that your need for meat is greater than your need for either breeding or working, right? Maybe because you have other animals that do that, or because you're not a breeder or a worker. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Gemara there does seem to establish, and that's a very critical Gemara for Mekalkel, that when it comes to Avodah Zarah at least, Shechita, when it comes to Isur Hanah, Shechita is Kilkol, not Tikkun. Correct? That's what the Gemara says. What I'm interested in pointing out is that Gemara the exception or the rule? Clearly, in Shabbos, things are different. How do we know in Shabbos things are different? It's one of the Avos Malacha, right? Shechita is certainly considered to be tikkun. So, and that's not what they mean when they say Chovel Lamavir necessarily, right? Tilas Neshama, Amar Chovel. So, Shechita Nochas Shabbos is Chayiv. That's the question all Rishonim ask. Right, Tosfos and Chulin, Ramban, Raibid. How could it be that when it comes to Yisuri Hanah, it's considered Kilkel? When it comes to Nochas Shabbos, it's considered Tikkun? We'll get to the answers in a few minutes. But that's what makes Shechita such a fascinating issue. But the reason I raised the issue before is, which is the exception, which is the rule? In other words, does the Gemara in Chulin put pressure on the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph? Really, it seems like it's correct that when you shecht an animal, you're undercutting its value, and it's a destructive action. And why is it a Malacha Nechus Shabbos anyway? Right. So what I was trying to suggest was that Gemara in Chulin, even from an Avodah Zarah point of view, is not such a davar pashut, because it's one thing to say having more options is always a better thing, but are you always going to say when you have options, you know, that it's a better thing even when you prefer a particular option? Then your options wouldn't be a better thing either, because, you know, pursuing them would always be absurd, you know? So, of course, all things being equal, I'd rather have a live animal if you're going to give me an animal, either a live one or a dead one, I would prefer the live one because it gives me options. That's different than saying that when I have an animal and no one's holding a gun to my head, right, and I decide that I want to use it for food purposes, and I shecht it, that's an act of destruction because I'm closing off my other options. Right? It just means that having examined my options, this is the one that I prefer, and it could be that this is the one that even objectively is better given my circumstances. As I say, I have, an unlimited supply of work animals and breeding animals, but I'm really hungry. Right, so is that an anomaly? So the truth is that the Gemara in Chulin itself could be challenged. It could be challenged for another reason too, namely who says even if options were always part of the calculation, it could be that Kilkel and Tikkun, have nothing to do with value, but they have to do with, whether something is an intrinsically destructive or constructive action. And Shechita, which is a halachic hechsher for eating, is always, by definition, a constructive action. So the truth is, I think one could argue with the Gemara and Chulin, even in terms of Yisurei Hana, from two perspectives. Either of those perspectives would be helpful in resolving the Shabbos problem. The more I consider the Avodah Zarah, Sakim Shel Avodah Zarah Chulin case to be the Chiddush, the less exertion required to justify Melacha Shechita. Okay. On the other hand, that's not the full story either, because there's another piece to the puzzle. Namely, David? In Shechita, still. I said Shechita was going to be complicated. So on the one hand, you have this Gemara of Avodah Zarah. I mean, this Gemara about Sakim Shel Avodah Zarah, this Gemara in Chulin. And on the other hand, you have the Mishnah and the fact that Shechita is an Av Malach. But instead of I'm suggesting now, maybe we should put the whole onus on the Gemara and Chulin. That's remarkable from several points of view. Okay. But the truth is, as I say, that it's not the whole story. What do I mean it's not the whole story? Jonathan? What? No, you're already getting into the Rishonim. Right? Some of the Rishonim say that. Malitosis. That might be the explanation, but Noah. No? Say that again? Oh, okay. From that point of view, that's an interesting point. It's not what I'm looking for at the moment in terms of the objective data that complicates the picture a little bit. But we'll get back to Mir Rabbeinu Tam. We'll get back to that. Okay, let's... Yoshua? Yeah. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Ayin Gimel complicates the picture a little bit. Why? Against Shechita? Right. There the Gemara has cases of Shechita that are Chayiv and Shabbos, where my argument about the intrinsic value of the Shechita as a Maisa, or still could be true, but it's definitely more questionable. And certainly the question about his options, he has three options, but he's not a breeder and he's not he wants to eat this thing, become much more pressure. How so? What does the Gemara say? Do you have it there? Do you have the Gemara in front of you? Okay. Ellie's providing it? Okay. Are both Ellie's providing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's read it through quickly. Well, meaning, what will happen? What's the sitting there in Pesachim about? Shechitas Korban Pesach the Shabbos. Right. Yeah, meaning if he... The point is that he doesn't have the Heter Korban Pesach because it's improper, so then it should be that he can't eat it anyway, so it's Mekalkel. So why should he be Chayiv? Right. So what does the Gemara say? Wow. Okay. So what does that mean, Ola Yerdu? Yeah, you shouldn't put it on there, lechatchila, but if he puts it on, it can be, there's a kiyum in burning it. So that's enough of a tikkun to make him chayav in Shabbos. Okay. In light of that, you know, it's not only the classic shechita that we're dealing with. What we're seeing is that a questionable shechita, and a shechita which is certainly isn't machshel achila, but has some value, you know, some redeeming value, but hardly, you know, hardly worth the trouble, right? Says of your losses, that also is called tikkun. Okay. And then the Gemara goes even further. That's already one of the better scenarios, right? Keep going quickly. Okay, that's the same thing, right? Okay. Oh, already? Okay, not even sitting on the Mizbeach, but already we're in the Sur Meirat, you know, category. Oh, great thing is, he'll shech this animal and it won't be in the veil. Terrific. But if you didn't shech the animal, it wouldn't be Matame either, right? So there's some, basically what the Gemara is proving is that there is some benefit for Shechita as opposed to if it would be, you know, dead on its own. But it's motzi min veil, so the Shechita accomplishes something. But there's a chalos, a halachic Shechita there. But not much more than that. As I say, it's a sur meirah. It's a sur meirah which you wouldn't even have to worry about if he left it alive. Okay. If you didn't do the malach, in other words.
It's
the treifa is the next point of the Gemara. Right. What'd you ask about treifa?
It's some danger now of it dying on us in the base ring, no?
What do you mean?
It's not so out there that it's a really available because it's a treifa. Terminal inside the
museum.
It may die on us right now, in which case then we'll have
a real problem. Okay, maybe. So the Sur Meirah is more, at least on the Sur Meirah level, maybe it's more of a problem. Okay. Okay, keep going. One more, and we have one final line. Oh, and what does Rashi say? Who cares that it's Motzim B'dei Eivor Ben Achai, really? So what's Rashi saying? Oh, so he does this thing, and the only benefit is that Ben Noach, who is a lovely fellow, but he's now, you know, he's going to get his Sur Meirah from this whole process. The point is, on the one hand, you have the Gemara in Chulin. Had you only had the Gemara in Chulin, one could have said, Maybe the heter of Sakin Shel Avodah Zarah is the thing that needs justifying. After all, what you have here is basically a Maisa Tikkun. Given the option that he prefers to shech this animal. Let's say there's a difference between saying I'd rather have a live one and have options than a dead one, but a shochet one. But if you're the one who chooses to be shochet, I wouldn't say it's just subjective Tikkun. I'd say for you and your circumstances, very possibly there's objective tikkun too. Either way, this is one of the three options, you know, that you had to begin with. So the Gemara Avodah Zarah, I say one could dismiss as being a chiddush in Isurei Anah, in the limits of Isurei Anah. But once you get to the Gemaras in Psachim, so we see that shechita is not only considered to be tikkun in a case where it's machshel achila, even when it's machshir le, lisare falgabi on mizbeach, allah yerdu, or lahotzi midei nevela, or even simply lahotzi midei Abraham minachai, and Rashi adds leben noach, even that is considered a tikkun. That's already pushing, then in light of the fact that it's, you know, that it's kilkul, the inani suriana, so the contrast becomes much more difficult, much more problematic. Okay, so that is a challenging case, and indeed the Rishonim addressed it. How exactly they formulated it is going to be important. This Tosas, this Raibid, are different formulations. We'll get back to it. Now, right now we're just surveying the territory. hopefully this will quicken the process. Then we'll get into some of the details on each, but knowing exactly what the scope of it is. Okay, that's Shechita. Then you have questions that the Achronim dealt with. For example, are you? What? The Mikhas Chinuch. You see it? You get to that? Prima Gadim. No one, you saw it? Any of them? Jonathan? No? Brian? Which reminds me, since I mentioned Ephraim's name. Ephraim mentioned to me after the shir yesterday that Anpasan, that there's an interesting shita in of the Mahine Shlomo who says that if you want to build a house on Shabbos because you're cold, or you want to sew clothing because you're cold, that's a malach shein tzricha leguf. Just thought I'd share that with you. It's a malachas, it's a coping malach. I told him you should mention it because it's right. I wouldn't pask it this way, personally, but it's unbelievable that someone does. Anyways, getting back to the well, what are the acronym cases? Michael, nobody got that far? Go ahead, Max. Yeah, shin men. What could be better for you? There's, you know, there's a shtar, a contract. Contract states that you owe your friend, you know, $2 million. Okay, conditioned upon, let's say, you know, that he could produce the contract. And being mochek that on Shabbos. Wow. Ha'imesh tikun gadol mizeh? So, of course, that's a fascinating case. Right? The tzura of what you're doing is destructive. It's mechika. Shalom na'as lichto. Definitely shalom na'as lichto. On the other hand, right, this is not a negative. This is not destructive from your, destructive to your neighbor. It's not destructive to you. That in itself is an interesting question. Can something that is destructive to someone else still be considered constructive to you if you're the Oseh? So that's the Prima Gadim's discussion. Go back to the details. The Rav used to speak about a similar case, but it's a touch different. Writing on a Rembrandt. Right? Or Da Vinci. You know. Not modern art, but... You know. So is that tikkun or kilkul? At the act of ksiva is an act of tikkun inherently. Definitely, the Rembrandt, once your child or yourself scribbles on it, worth a lot less than it used to be worth. So, is that tikkun or kilkul? You chayiv for such a thing or not? By the same token, erasing the ksiva on the Rembrandt. Right? So, here already you might distinguish between erasing the shtar chov and erasing the scribbles on the Rembrandt. As I said before, the erasing of the shtar chov may be tikkun for you, but it's still kilko for someone. It's inherently kilko, really. Just, you know, it brings me great benefit, personally. But it's a destructive action for him. If it brings me benefit, it's at his expense. The erasing of the scribbles on the Rembrandt, right, is only beneficial. It's not destructive at all. So aside from the Prima Gadim, we should deal with that case as well. What about the Minchas Chinuch cases? What are those? Yona, is far or not? No one looked at the Minchas Chinuch yet? Somebody being modest, or Kiva, you saw it or not? Yeah. Nako, also? Okay, Minchas Chinuch deals with you look it up. Minchas Chinuch says, what about being Zoreya Kilayim? Or being Mevashel Basu B'chalor? He quotes the question, the Achronim asks this question. The Gemara in Makos, and Daf Chafalef, that's famous Gemara, you know, Yesh Zoreya, you know, Yechayev Alav. You do one act of Zriya and Yechayev five times. You do one act of Bisha and Yechayev all seven times. You know those Gemaras in Makos and Avchapala. So the Urim V'Tumim, the Yonos Leib should ask the question. The Gemara there wants to be Mechayev Mishum Bishul Basabachalav or Zorea Bekalayim. It's Mekalkal. Zorea Bekalayim is Yisuriana. Right, Mevashul Basabachalav is Yisuriana. So how can it be Chayev Mishum Shabbos on that? Okay, so basically, you get the idea. There's a group of cases in the Gemara that seem clear. There's a group of cases in the Gemara that seem clear but are not. And then there's a group of cases where there's discussion and controversy. And our job is trying to make a little bit of sense out of all these things. Obviously, the big questions are the relationship to Melach Shein and Tzricha L'Gufa in many respects, as we've already noted. Does Tzricha L'Gufa, in Tzricha L'Gufa define the component in which the Tikkun does or doesn't take place? That's one issue. Is Tzricha L'Gufa and Tikkun Kilkul, you know, overlapping concepts, and sometimes one becomes a form of the other? We found that in some Rishonim. We have to look at that more. The correlation between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda in Chovel HaMavir, the Tosfos Reina has a direct correlation. According to Rashi, for technical reasons, it's an inverse correlation. What about that? The fact that some of the cases of Ein Tzricha L'Gufa overlap with Mekalkel, like Chofer Guma, and possibly Korea Alanes, right? Surely that's at minimum interesting, possibly important. The fact that the kind of questions that we have to raise are similar in both, although they might have different answers. Objective, subjective. Personal, relating to the Tzuras HaMalacha. As I said before, any amount of tikkun is enough? Only Kilkul Gomor is excluded? Same question in Tzricha L'Gufa, right? If something is both Tzorach and Lav Tzorach. And of course, finally, very much can depend on the others, is the source of the problem the same? Are they both Malachas Makshevas that we discussed already? Seems pretty clear, at least in the Gemara and Chagiga, that Mikal tells the problem of Malachas Makshevas. As for Tzricha L'Gufa, we discussed it. And connected with that and with the previous issues, objective, subjective, and so on, is it a similar kind of flaw? That's when you have Mikal Kel in your Patur, and when you have Tzricha L'Gufa in your Patur, are they pater in the same way? Are they concerned of machshava, of maisa? Just like we discussed, the kamei bedrabaminei and choloshein bo sakana and mishum tsar and things of that sort with regard to Ein Tzricha L'Gufa, at least the questions have to be raised again with regard to mekalkel. You might get a different answer. Okay, that's our charge. So let's just look at some of the cases more specifically. We'll start now, and we'll go through all these cases, just see what there is, and then we'll move on to the next topic. So then, let's very quickly read through Kuf Hayamud Beis. Yasu. Can we read it already, so you can read it quickly? Korea B'neso, Korea B'chamaso, Korea L'Mirne, Emasa, Alan Shebesa. Right? Okay, just the first line of the Mishnah. Or it's two lines of the Mishnah. Korea b'chamaso. Okay. Go ahead. So again, from the Mishnah it seems that Korea b'chamaso is mekalkel and it's potter. Correct? Okay. Go. Even though he does it for personal therapy. Or one would think. Or not necessarily, maybe. No, I mean, he does. He's angry. Right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, quickly, though. Okay, this part you could skip, because we went through this already. Right? Until after all the Adam Kasher and so on, Shasta Tzias Neshama. Liyitzro. Not Liyotzro, but Liyitzro. Okay, so here, what's going on?
So
the Gemara now is a Havamid. The Gemara seems clear to say that Korea al Meso is Metake. Correct? As for Korea al Chamaso, now the Gemara is saying that that's Metake too. Okay, because it's Ka'ovid Nachas Ruach Liyitzro. Even though the Tzura of what you're doing is destructive. Go ahead. Okay. Well, we discussed this already. This is a very important Gemara about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is about a lack of consistency, right? Okay. So basically, the pashtus of the Gemara is that Korea b'meso is tikkun. Korea b'chamaso is kilkul. And as for lehati lemaso al anshe beso, that is tikkun. That's also Kiddush, because that's not a mitzvah, right? But since it's and it is a physically destructive act, one would think. So it seems like the Gemara is Mechadish a little bit, that as long as there's some positive purpose to the Kriya, even though the Tzura is destructive, if it's Lashem, Tikkun of some sort, Lahat Alimasa, again, as the Parshim explained, you shouldn't do it too much. You don't want your children, to be scared of you. But, you want them to know that you're their father, not their friend. But, your father who cares about them. So you can overdo the lahati leimaso al anche meso. But on some level, it has a benefit. Okay. But as for chamaso, that we reject. But why do we reject it? Again, not because of the tzura. From a tzura point of view, it's the same. But because we don't accept the view that this is positive, therapeutical. Okay. It's a concession to the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't mean that it doesn't channel your anger. Maybe it does, but the point is it's not the right way to channel your anger. There's an interesting nugget here, right, in discussing outlets for anger and channeling and so on. I wasn't joking about that. That's really true. Okay. Now, the Rambam, as we noted, says, Perikin Alacha Yud, then it is tikkun. So the question is, what do you do with the Gemara? So Eliezer read it already. Well, we also noted that what does the Rambam do? Even as he paskins that Yechayiv, which seems against the Gemara, what does he also do, Eliezer? Okay, but the point is that he builds up the therapeutic value also more. Right? I mean, he expounds on that a little bit. Is that a coincidence or not? I mean, the Rambam clearly felt pressured to justify what seems to be a psak against the Gemara. But does that do it alone? The Magid Mishnah in Perek Ches Halacha Ches says, what does it do? What does Rambam do? Everybody says, what does Rambam do with the Gemara? What does the Magid Mishnah say? And as you saw it?
Well,
you shouldn't do it on the weekend, you shouldn't do it on Shabbos, but...
Right,
because
now we're checking the fact that it is a weekend.
Yeah, it's very fascinating, and probably is the way the Rambam read the Gemara. I mean, that's one of two explanations that you could give. Namely, the Rambam, the Gemara doesn't ever say that Mekalkel, the Chamaso is... I'm sorry, the Korea the Chamaso is Mekalkel. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, Umi Shari, are you allowed to do it? So all the Rishonim understood that if you're not allowed to do it, then it's Mekalkel. Because they associate Kilkun Tikkun, particularly in this case, with Heter and Iser. If the norm allows for such a thing, then the you know, then it's going to be viewed as tikkun. If it doesn't, if it's asur, it's like avodah zara, then it's by definition kilkul. The Rambam didn't read the Gemara that way. The Rambam read the Gemara as, again, an incidental discussion. The Gemara is now engaged in an aside. The Gemara says, is it kilkul or is it tikkun? The Gemara says it's tikkun. Why? Because it's therapeutic. It's you know, it's good for his yetzer. And that's what the Rambam emphasizes strongly in Mishnah Torah. When the Gemara says that it's an act of avodah zarah, so the Rambam says that the Gemara was just saying that you shouldn't do it. Something can be therapeutic, right? And yet it could be asur because it violates. It's not the, maybe there are alternative therapies, or even if there aren't as effective therapies. Not every therapy, you know, is mutter because sometimes it impinges on, it encroaches on some other value. In this case, this temperamental, you know, outburst is inconsistent with being a ben Torah. So the Rambam says, but those are two different issues. So what emerges in the Rambam really is two chidushim. One could have read the Gemara as in two ways. Number one, you could say, the Rambam's right. The Gemara never denied that it's therapeutic. What the Gemara said was, apalpi, that it's therapeutic, it's asur. But whether something is kilkul and tikkun depends not whether or not it's therapeutic, but whether it's mutter or asur. Anything that is asur to do is an act of kilkul. That's one way to read the Gemara. Then what emerges is a debate between the Rambam, the most Rishonim, and the Pashtus of the Gemara about kilkul and tikkun and Yochel Shabbos. Rambam says it's highly subjective, even when it's against the halakha. Right, that subjective component is still enough to create tikkun. And other Rishonim saying, no, we're not denying that there's a therapeutic element, but if it's asur, then it's kilkul, because we define it more objectively, or even, there still could be two explanations. We define it more objectively, or even subjectively, that there's a clash here. On the one hand, his psychological counseling bills are going to be lower, unquestionably. And on the other hand, he's done something wrong in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So even from a subjective point of view, this is not good for him. His interest in it doesn't make it good for him. There's another way to read the Gemara. And that is that the Gemara is saying that this isn't therapeutic either. Or meaning it's even from a therapeutic point, it's not therapeutic, but Hilchos Avodah Zarah, you know, demands a different response. What we're saying is, this is like avodah zarah, therefore it's bad therapy, it's negative therapy. Now, you could theoretically agree with the Rambam that even if something is asur, it could still be tikkun because you really want it and it helps you in some way, but we don't believe this to be helpful. Okay. So the Rambam's, yeah.
The other Rishonim isn't so much the fact that we're violating Yisur, or maybe the Gemara seems to emphasize perhaps that this case is unique because here you're leading your Yitzhar Hara and the future is violating more Yisurin. So here this is, from a bigger perspective, it may be good for you now, but ultimately it's destructive with respect to your Yitzhar Hara. So it could be then Shah other Yisurin where, I mean, it's true that Averi Gora Severo, but still it's a very big difference. So, but it could still be that. And Rashi also, I mean, I think it's Gemara, but it says, Amalav Nesakin, who Shemilami, who Margilos Yitzro Lavoda. So you could say every Avera is true. As Gemara says, this Avera in particular, anger.
I mean, we would agree with the Rambam, but this is not, this anger management ultimately is counterproductive, even from an anger management point of view.
Right.
Or in terms of his character more generally.
Right, but certainly just the violation of one specific user that doesn't have such a profound...
Well, we're not talking about an incidental violation. We're talking about whether an action which is therapeutic but is asur, is that, you know, right, which outweighs which in being kilkul and tikkun.
Right.
So and it's not a coincidence here.
Right, but even so, let's say someone would somehow, you know, the victim, so it doesn't matter, one would eat a piece of nevela and thereby somehow
right.
End up, you know, it's...
Achaz of Bulmos.
So they might agree that if it's Misakian, it's Misakian, but there it's not going
to be. Okay, that's fair enough. Okay. So basically what we're saying in sum is, if you read the Gemara says that this is kilkul. The Rambam says it's tikkun, that itself is very fascinating. what this argument is all about, that we're open to various possibilities. Okay. One possibility is that basically everybody agrees about the facts of the case and the degree of the therapy and so on. The question is whether something that is both therapeutic and also at the same time is that tikkun v'tikkun. That would be a major argument in tikkun v'tikkun. Zvi is suggesting that we adjust that a little bit and say that being osur per se isn't the problem. The problem is that it creates a larger pattern of destructive behavior, so it's really kilkul, not just because it's osur, but because this particular isur is about larger destructive behavior. Now, the third possibility is that you could disagree with the Rambam even if you agreed with the Rambam. Because all agree with this, meaning if you agree that indeed it was therapeutic, then and beneficial on a certain level, albeit usur or leading to worse destructive behavioral consequences, then fine. You still might go with the Rambam and say, well, in the narrow picture, the moment, there is an immediate gratification, an immediate benefit. However, that's not true either. The reason, the fact that this is defined as a kind of avodah zarah isn't some trade-off with the with the channeling of your anger, or the anger management. It just makes it bad anger management in the present as well. But Lu Yatsuya, the Rambam was right. And again, I'm just emphasizing that the Rambam adds those extra words to overemphasize the tikkun, to justify his psak, because it clearly is against the grain of the Gemara. So it could be that one could disagree with the Rambam by just taking out those extra words. So whether we fundamentally disagree with the Rambam and argue with him on a detail, or we fundamentally disagree with the Rambam because anything that is also destructive, notwithstanding its therapeutic consequences, is kilkul, that becomes a very important issue on two levels. Number one, assessing how halacha looks at this kind of a therapy. That in itself is interesting. And more important for our purposes, where do you draw the line in kilkul and tikkun, objective, subjective, kilkul ktsas, tikkun ktsas, but kilkul yoser. In the aggregate, this is bad. Right? It's more destructive than constructive. But there is a constructive element. What's the halacha in that case? Is that tikkun kol duhu enough for Hilchos Shabbos purposes? If that's what you're focusing on, even though the aggregate is kilkul, or not? It could be that these are some of the issues that the Rambam is debating with the other Rishonim. Okay. What about meso? So that we thought was, well, this will stop. Meso we thought was a pretty simple matter. That the Gemara almost says explicitly. Again, the Rishonim argue whether it's tzricha l'gufa or tzricha l'gufa. But the Gemara is pretty clear about the fact that kareal meso is tikkun. However, even here, it's not completely a double pashut. Okay. Why is it not a double pashut? Is it because it's a bar mitzvah? That's question number one. Okay. Or only because it's a bar mitzvah? If it was only because it was a bar mitzvah, then you'd have a problem with the Rishonim, who said that that Havaras Pas Kohen and the Nila, which are also different mitzvah, are kilkul. So why is Korea tikkun and these others are not? Again, so Bishlam and the Rishonim would say that all the mitzvahs are tikkun. And of course, it's an interesting parallel to the Rambam issue, right? Anything that's also can be kilkul, right? And everything that's a mitzvah could be tikkun. Even if predominantly it seems the other way around, that would be, the halachic reality approach to kilkul and tikkun. Right? We see it's not so in the Rambam, but we see it's not so in some other Rishonim. The Rishonim would say a mitzvah can still be kilkul. And an Isur can be a tikkun. But in theory, if you say Korea, the Chamaso is kilkul, and you say every single mitzvah, no matter what, is tikkun, right? So you have the halakha reality approach. Whatever it is, al pi din. Whatever, if halakha values it, not just values it, and gives the green light to it, it's tikkun. Otherwise, it's kilkul. We have two perspectives. We have clearly opposite view and this view. That could work out. But if you say that it's not because of the mitzvah per se, because the whole life of Rishonim said it, Havaras Bas Kohen and Mila really is kilkul, not tikkun. Right, Bali Tosa is not like Rashi. So then what are you going to do with Korei? Oh, nice. Can't be because of mitzvah per se. Right. So either you have to make distinctions within mitzvahs, right? Or you have to say something else or additional. What do you have to say?
It's the Beged
Mirah. Oh, and who says it? Exactly. Tosas needed to say it. And they say it. I mean, the Baal of Tosas don't have the luxury of saying that every mitzvah is tikkun, because it's not consistent with the way they learn the Gemara on the very next page. We post this quickly, and with this we'll conclude for today. What do they say? In addition to the mitzvah, you've been machshir the chetz shel beged. Now, what's not clear in Tosas is, do we need both things? Is it mitzvah plus a hechsher, halachic hechsher? It's only a halachic hechsher. I should add that also. It's a question of halachic reality issue. You haven't improved the beged. You've ruined the beged, but you've made it wearable for the next 7 days. But that itself is interesting. Okay, go ahead, just read this quickly, then we'll stop here. Go ahead. Nir Lari. No? Kamasa, Kamasa. Kababa, the Almesa, right. The Almesa lo pligi, go ahead. He himself, Bali Tosas himself, asked this kasha. It's not what went through their mind. Any mitzvah is tikkun. It's a halachic definition. So it's mitzvah v'isur is the equivalent of tikkun v'kilkul. Halachic reality. Tosas says it doesn't work. For Rashi it might work, but for us it doesn't work. Now here's the question, whether we read v'isbo chimum, or if you look in the bottom, Where is it? Somewhere. I am Tosas Yontev. The Bekayim Nuskei Shona Ve'en Bochimo. Pirush Aydea Kri Nistalik Chamimusa. Therapeutic. The Lo Karashal Sheyigia Ve'is Bechimo. Tricky. Number one, Ve'is Bechimo, what does it refer to? And whether it's Ve'is Bechimo or Ve'leis Bechimo. Either way, Bali Tosas here are fully consistent with Kuvav and Menalit. Mitzvah alone does not constitute tikkun. It could say it for Rashi. You can't say it at all for the Rambam, because it goes the other way. Bali Tosas say mitzvah per se doesn't do it, but the combination of mitzvah and the chetzah shel beged does it. Or is it only the chetzah shel beged? What does the chimum here mean? Is the chimum that's a continuation of an explanation of how he's wearing the beged because he was Korea b'chamaso, he was b'shas chimum rather, in his avemos. Or if it's this other girsa, so we're talking about his personal therapy, right? Ripping his garment was a good expression of his avemos. Are there two dinim? A, the chetzah shel beged has to be moroi, that's mitzad chetzah this tikkun. B, mitzad gavro this tikkun. It's not clear. It's not perfectly clear. But definitely, Rashi's view of this Gemara and Tosas's are radically different. Okay, we'll stop here. The cases on Kuvav and the other cases, let's analyze the different Mefarshim and then see whether there are patterns that emerge like they did in Ein Shikra L'Gufa or not.